This guy is fucking hilarious.
This is the Mother Ruckin' Jordan Show.
And I'm your host, Jordan Rucker, and I'm back. I know it's been a minute, but we are back in motion. Today is Monday, and I got a good show for you guys today. But before we get into the interview with Quab Dollaz, surprise guest. Love that guy. He was awesome. We sat down and had a great fucking conversation, man. We sat down, we talked about his project, his motivation for the project, and his process that he had for it, why it took him a long time through COVID and even through that, you know what I mean? Like all the emotions through COVID and what had, you know, what stopped him and what got him out of what his predicament was. It was an awesome conversation in that. And we had a good talk about the comparison in his music, his fashion brand, and much, much more deep, good facts into this independent artist rapper that we know, Quab Dollaz. And please, please stay tuned to that interview. If you one of those type of artists out there that's just like, you know, you an independent rapper or you an independent writer, it's a good interview for you, you know what I'm saying? So that's a good one that's coming up today. I wanted to, you know, lay some things down real fast. I am switching up my format, or would you say, like, you know, I'm trying something new. I have the one and only, I had to bring Christine McKinney back. Claps on that. Brought her back onto the show. A lot of people gave us great feedback and said we sound great together. She back there painting. You see her. And we have good chemistry. So I said, hey, Chris, why don't you, you know, be a little co-host? Let's see how that goes. So she's in the interview with us, and we both sat down with Quab Dollaz. Great, great, great fucking interview. And I think it's just, you know, up from here. And before I start this, I wanted to give out a cool, crazy announcement. Your boy is going to be popping out on Friday night. I need everybody to show up because the gang is putting on a show. It's coming up. It's going to be called, I got to put this in front of me, you feel me? Because I don't know why I keep turning around. But we got a show coming up called Before It Gets Worse, February 10th, 7 p.m. It's free. I'm telling everybody, it's fucking free. So no excuse. Pop out. It's going to be at Honey's in Brooklyn. That's on 93rd Scott Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. If you get lost, look up Honey's. Never been there either, but it's going to be a dope-ass fucking time, man. We got a show coming out. It's going to be a whole bunch of artists, you know, coming up there, playing some music, you know, and we're going to be celebrating. And I'm going to tell you what kind of guests is going to be there. We got Eli. We got Wade District. We got Justo Benz. We got Fonzo. We got the Quab Dollaz, who I interviewed today. And we all going to listen to his interview and his new project. We got Ty Savage. I can't even read the damn letters. We got Mari Getty. We got Shy Frost, her first time about to pop out, introduce her. And we got Jody 10K. And we got Carlos the Fifth. And surprise, motherfucker, I'm performing. You feel me? It's going to be my first time on stage. I'm going to be rocking the mic. I got a song I'm finna fucking put up there. I want all my people to come out if you want to watch me do some music. I don't really get too much on my music side, but your boy do music when he can, which I just sometimes I'm scared like a little bitch and I don't do it, but I'm here now and I'm doing it. So I'm forced to get on stage. Shout out to Carlos the Fifth. He's putting me on stage. He told me he's giving me fucking minutes and I better fucking show up and do it. So, but I want my people to come out and come show me some love. You know what I mean? So February 10th, 7 p.m. Honey's, look it up on Brooklyn. Save the date. Come and support. You feel me? I'm going to be there. And I know everybody loves this one right here. Everyone loves her. So she going to be out there too. And we got a little guest, Carmella, in the building. Look at her. She happy as fuck. But everybody, please, please come out, support to the show. Get ready for this interview. Quab Dollaz, wonderful fucking person, wonderful fucking guy. great fucking artist at the same time. And we sat down and had a good one. Peace.
Want a trip to paradise? If I tell you pack your bags, we can leave tonight. Come to the crib and stay JFK 15 minutes away. Been trying to get you alone since the first date. I need that energy when I pop up in your city. I got the hood shorties bopping out like I was Diddy. You heard that I'm a dog, but I'll be nice to your kitty. City boy lifestyle, I'm part of the committee. No one can talk to me like they are settling. I keep the lights on in this joint, Con Edison. I never wife a girl that belong to the streets. If I do, then it's because of how she second me. I can't pretend, shorty, what you get is what you see. But the question is, can you bring out the best in me? Cause I got options of who riding in this limousine. So just be nice whenever you are talking to me.
Tell me if you want me to. Tell me if you want my time. I give it. I give it. Make it good for you. I'll be good to you. I'll be good for you. I promise to always be true as long as you.
This is the Mother Ruckin' Jordan Show.
And I'm your host, Jordan Rucker, and I got a good guest today. Got my big dog here today, coming straight from Queens. Rapper, going dumb, just dropped a tape. Everybody welcome, Quab Dollars.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. Thank you for having me, man.
Nah, you know, we were just talking about it. It's been long overdue.
Yeah, definitely. Long overdue. We've been trying to set this up for a while.
Facts. How we been, man?
Everything is good, man. I can't complain about too much, you know. Every day, just taking everything one stride at a time, trying to live life to the best I can, you know.
Right, and living in this cold.
Yeah, man. It's freezing outside today, man.
Cold as hell today. All right, y'all. And before we get into this interview, I got a new host that's helping me out, as always. The beautiful Christine McKinney's back on the air. Give her a clap. Huh? With half the mic. But we're going to make this work. What's good, Quab?
Hey, man. You know, just dropped the new project, Quarantine.
No. How we feeling?
Quarantine Files. Man, this thing has been long overdue for me.
Yeah? How long you been working on this?
Honestly, I would say I've been working on this project for about a good 2 to 3 years, I'd say.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's been a long time. Because at the point where the music that I've made for it is just old to me, which is why this wasn't even supposed to be named Quarantine Files.
What was it before? That.
So the envision that I had after the last project that I dropped, was Popular Loner.
Mm-hmm.
So this one that came out that you know as Quarantine Files was for a project I was going to be working on called El Dinero. So El Dinero, that was just going to be just like trying to be talking about different lifestyle changes and stuff like that. But I'm past that, and I feel like El Dinero is just the way I envision it. I want it to be so much bigger. And I could be so much better that this is just stuff that I just had left over.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been so long since I dropped the project. It's like, why not?
Yeah, why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you started working with shout out to Casp. I don't even know if he's going by Casper, but.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Casper, man. That guy, he was a big help to this project.
Facts.
He helped me. He produced 10 that mm-hmm. a lot of people is rocking with. 10 is a good little drill song that I did. He also helped me mix. He mixed TBE, he mixed Young OG, and he did Two Brothers.
Shout out to the Fifth and my boy Justo Benzo.
Mm-hmm.
That shit was actually pretty, I like the way y'all did that.
Yeah, man. That's so
I'm always curious of how, like, rappers, you know, you go back to back.
Mm-hmm.
How was that, like, put all together,
right,
like, type
so
shit?
So let me tell you exactly how I pitched them the idea, because it's a funny story, right? So I think when I first showed them the song, I think I just had the hook, and I had just sent them... I didn't even have the hook recorded yet. I just rapped it to them in person. And I showed them the beat.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, when I want y'all two to get on this track, I'm like, I want y'all to be on some Styles P, Jadakiss shit. I want y'all to just go back and forth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, y'all chemistry is just tight. Y'all real life brothers.
Yeah.
I figured that should be a dope concept for a song. They're like, oh, all right, bet. Cool, cool, cool. I hear the story from Casper. They pull up to the studio to go to record. Before they record, they just dying. They just laughing. They just snickering. Like, yeah. Watch this. And then, boom. So as soon as he pressed play, Casper is like, he hears the first line. I think the first line is Jay Benzo. It's something about, something give me the box that she got an achievement.
Yeah.
And he's just looking at them like, all right, let me know when y'all serious. Yeah. They like, y'all be dead ass.
Nah, that's the crazy part about them too.
Yeah.
They dead ass.
They dead ass with this
shit. They so dead ass with it, but it came out pretty dope.
It came out dope, and I couldn't just deny, just like, you know what? This is art at the end of the day. Why not have fun with this shit? I never had no like real funny tracks for the style of song. Like I have respect like the Detroit culture right now with the bops that they got going on with their style of rap.
Yeah.
So that was me just kind of wanting to dabble and dabble in that style.
Now you could tell you have like it's a lot of fun in that.
Oh yeah, definitely. We had a lot of fun.
That's pretty cool. All right, so let's start from the beginning though. Let's get when did you start making music, big dog?
All right, so first started making music, first time I ever touched the booth, and I would say, I think I remember the first time was Halloween 2016. That was the first time I ever recorded my first song.
Damn.
Yeah. So I've
where was you at?
Where was I? It was somewhere in Long Island City, Queens. I was working with an engineer producer back then that developed a lot of my early sound. Shout out to Black V, Black Visionary. Yep, that's what he goes by. And that's just, I would say that's my origins. It was in a real, real tiny room where it was just enough space for his desk.
Yeah.
Like two seats and then like a closet for the booth that was just filled with foam and padding.
Yeah.
And he was just getting busy.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you would be like way earlier making music.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say even earlier than that.
Yeah,
honestly, I would say I was a late bloomer to some things. You know, I just started. This was like fresh after high school. You know, I always had a thing for poetry. Like, all right, so let me tell you why I kind of had a niche to like even get into rhyming and think that I could.
Okay.
Rhyme. So. Basically, my ex-girlfriend at the time.
Oh, it's always a damn ex-girlfriend.
I ain't gonna lie. I was a little lover boy back then. Still am, you know. But back then, I had my little thing or whatever. And I used to write poems. And actually, when we first met, I remember there was this writing assignment that we had, I think, in the ninth grade. And she had asked to, like, read my poem or whatnot. And she was like...
You remember it?
Hell
no. Nah. Oh, damn. I was about to say, it's about to be red. He's like, roses are red. Nah, but it was what?
It was a school assignment just for like, just whatever. And she asked to read it. She was like, where you get this from? I'm like, me?
she thought like, you forged this shit?
Yeah, she thought that I like copied it. For real, big plagiarized. I'm like, nah, this is me. This is off my head and my thoughts. She's like... This is actually good.
Yeah. Nah, that's dope.
So that was like the first spark of like, I guess I do got little things for coming up with rhymes.
Yeah.
So cute.
Was it one of those things where like people around you was making music, so you ended up doing it?
A little bit. I would say who heavily influenced me to actually like push me and brought me to the studio for the first time was my stepdad.
Oh, word?
Dad. Yeah, he's an artist. His name, he goes by Isaiah AM.
All right.
Really, really talented. Really, really talented, crafted, whenever I need help or advice or in a song direction, I always ask him.
Oh, bet. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Get a little advice from the OGs.
Oh, definitely.
I couldn't get it from my OG. My OG was talking about guns, drugs, gang banging. I'd be like, that's not me at all.
Hey, young man, let me show you how to chop up this brick.
Facts, right? I'm like, oh, damn. There we go. Nah, but, I'm going to tell you, Quav, you one of my, I like you as an artist because you kind of make, you have a different sound than the rest of the group that we have. Mm-hmm. But I kind of.
I'm not too. It's a very unique style.
Yeah, it's a unique, different type of style. I feel like you could tell you focus on the melody, the. Like the whole, I'm making a song.
Oh yeah,
type of thing.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like when it comes to my peers that are rapping with me, I feel like I'm the one that takes the longest, which I kind of am jealous of.
Yeah,
because it's like the way how they just be coming up with stuff.
It's ridiculous.
It just be insane. It's like, all right, what you just said would at least took me like a few hours to come up with that kind of level of genius, but that just be. That's what kind of pushes me into that element to think, okay, I know that where my strength's at, so I try to tap into that.
Wait, hold on. Sidebar for the people that's listening. That's Carmella destroying her new toy.
Cute little dude.
Next to Uncle Quab.
Wants to be in the.
Yeah, just want to be. She's always wanted to be in, just giving everybody a heads up. But, nah, but it's like.
You have a similar working style.
Yeah. I like
more measured, not wanting to put it out until it's perfect.
Yeah,
wanting to be precise and calculative.
You want to talk about that? Like, why you think you that way?
Why? I definitely feel like I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah,
I definitely am. Like, even on some songs that like are now that are out now for Quarantine Files, I thought about redoing some of my verses on there just because I thought it wasn't at that point. But then just working with people around me, like. This is good. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to change to it? Well, how can you make it better? And it's like, it makes no point even doing that. Because I feel like as artists, sometimes perfection is something that we always try to achieve for. But I don't know if we'll ever get to that point. So we just try to get as close to it as you can. And you just have to let the people decide.
It's kind of crazy because we don't even know what perfect is. Really, you know? Don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're still, like, you know, we're starving art, even yourself. Mm-hmm. We don't know what perfect is.
No, but how do you... That issue, too, though. And, like, you know, I heard recently progress is the enemy of perfection or vice versa.
Yeah.
Something like that. Where, basically, like, if you keep striving to be perfect all the time, you're not going to actually put anything out. Mm-hmm. So it ends up slowing you down.
But I don't know why it comes like that. Because I'm the same way, dude. Like,
yeah.
I literally have Carlos the 5th, shout out to him, is forcing me to do music on the 10th next week.
That's the only way you're going to improve.
You gotta, like,
by just putting yourself in that situation and just like giving yourself a deadline. I find it hard to give myself a deadline. If someone else does it, like I need this painting, whatever, by.
Yeah.
You know, February 14th, then it'll be done.
Yeah.
If I'm giving myself a deadline, it's like, yeah, I'm going to finish it this month. Okay, I'm going to finish it next month. You do the same thing.
No, I do the same thing.
If it gives you a deadline, you can do it.
No, facts. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Was that your case with this one, too?
Oh, yeah. With a bunch of these songs, I'm not going to lie. The quickest person to really work with is this guy, Jody.
Yo, that Jody.
Guy, he's a real crazy man, but his work ethic... I remember when we first did Cartier Dreams, I sent it to him the first day. I think he got it back to me, verse recorded in like 3 hours.
Word?
Word of God. Like, he heard it. He was like, oh, yeah, bet. This is fire. Sent it back to me that same night. I'm like, and it's just so good. I'm like, you for real? It took me like a week or two to at least write my portion.
Yeah.
It took you 3 hours to have it recorded and done. I'm like, wow. Okay. But.
I always feel like if it gets done, it gets done. But you strive to do that, though. But that's a skill that everyone's trying to work on, you know?
But all it is confidence. because you probably had drafts of songs that were good way before you were ready to put them out.
Oh yeah, definitely. I have a couple of songs that I left over the project.
Oh yeah.
Just because I was just like, maybe this wouldn't be the right vibe, or it wouldn't be the right time, or it wouldn't flow correctly with stuff. But
so how do you create your own flow? What do you look at?
Okay, so my process when I do create music is I always like to try to start off with the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And when the way I write my hooks really is I try to listen to the beat to really try to say, this may sound crazy, but if you get it, then you get it. Like, I try to listen to see what the beat is telling me, to be honest.
Oh, I get it.
I'll try to say, okay, how can I speak for the beat and hear the vibe of this?
I love that.
No, I think I always feel like that's one of my things is that let's say like a dude that's making the beat, right? Mm-hmm. He's coming from some type of emotion when he's making the beat.
Exactly.
He's creating words with sound, mm-hmm. with something. Now you look into like, well, all right, what is he trying to express? Let me put some words to it.
Feeling.
And that thing is, some people just like, I think those people like a Jody, a Lowe's, they just, I don't know, they go off.
Jump ahead.
They just like
whatever comes to their mind, they're going to say it.
They're going to say it and they what they feel. And it just, it becomes into this whole like smart thing. And it's like, oh.
I admire people like that.
Never thought.
People can work that way in their art.
Yeah. And I admire.
Put it out. Consistency.
But I respect and I love people who take their time.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, yo, Quad, we got to get on here because we got to talk about this.
Yeah.
Nah, but it's like, I'm happy for you, man. I think the feedback, I'm seeing you've been getting some good feedback on this one, right?
I'm very blessed and appreciative of the feedback that I've been getting, you know, because it's been a while too. Like it's been since the last project drop was April 2021. And I just had like a few singles here and there, you know, been showing my face up and every now and then at shows.
Yeah.
But like just to hear that like people that I would say have been anticipating and that do appreciate my music, I feel like I really wanted to do it for them, for those
people
that really actually enjoy my art.
No, I think you did hit it though.
Thank you, brother. I
think you did, man, because I already told you my favorite track on there. I like Sample Beats. Mm-hmm. And that sample beat, what is it?
Drop It.
Drop It.
Yeah, man.
The Pretty Ricky. Miss me. Miss me. Had me in a chokehold. Hey, yo. Nah, but let's say, what was the struggles of this project, just besides the whole waiting for it and like being the prolonging of it? What else was the obstacle on it?
Okay, so an obstacle I would say that I incurred during this project is just having the confidence,
mm-hmm.
I would say, to really just sit down and trust in my craft that I could really do this thing, you know? I'm not going to lie. I'm one of those that every from now and then I do battle with some self-doubt.
Yeah.
You know, I really do be like, damn, is this good enough? Like, yeah, I know I'm doing this and I could do this and that, but like, if I put out a full body of work, will it be appreciative? Like, will this pay off in the long run? You know, I feel like that's what people want to really see is even though my expectations of the project, they want to know if the expectations will meet the results.
Yeah.
So I would really say that would be just, I feel like it's more so a mental battle for me.
Yeah. How do you overcome that?
Yeah. Overcoming it is just, I just have to realize that I'm doing what's making me happy. And I know that I'm going to be satisfied with the end product and the end
result
at the end of the day. Because I'm the one, I got to live with that. You know, with my work being out and people receiving it, however it may come across to people. So
yeah,
that's just something that I've just had to learn to keep an open mind. Like, you know, I know everybody's not going to like everything. You know, that's just something that I had to learn from the get go.
Yeah,
but to just have the confidence to know that, damn, this is, I like, this is what I believe in myself. So this is what I'm going to do.
Shit, I applaud, because there's a lot of people that still don't do it, including me. I still won't put the motherfucker out. But I fucking applaud that you take that step and you're just like, here it is. Well, and you just let it do its work.
Seems like you're really creating from a place of like, I want to put this out and this is something that I want to do, like, for the sake of the art, more so than, okay, what hook is going to get me the most views or like the most listens? Like, obviously that's part of it, but it seems like you're coming from a very like, I need to get this art out into the world more than I feel trying to go viral.
Definitely. Because to be honest, viral, I guess everybody wants to go viral, you know, everybody wants to be known as that popular figure to have their stuff playing. But as long as I feel like I'm going to be real happy, as long as the people that I care about that is in my life that actually enjoy and appreciate it, because that's who I'm going to really see on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see the person regularly that lives in like Minnesota or the person that lives in like Nevada randomly somewhere that just may hear my thing and don't even know anything about me personally. You know, I care about how the people that I interact with, who I'm going to see next week at the next party, who I'm going to hang with one of my homies, if they're going to have like a celebration or a dinner or something.
Yeah.
You know, those are the connections that I appreciate. And I would want to give the art to those people.
I love that.
And the people on the outside who likes it, it's all a compliment.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's all additional.
Yeah.
It's not the goal.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Would you say that's the same thing with art? Like when you put your painting out?
I get sucked into the what's going to sell, what's going to perform well. I like the vanity metrics of views and all that stuff. But I think every time that I'm coming from that place and like, okay, what is the people who actually follow me just because they love me and my art, what do they want to see rather than like, what's catchy? Always.
Sorry, I got loud ass neighbors.
I know, they're like screaming.
Just over there, just screaming her ass off.
That's really the catch with a lot of artists. Because you know how people be like, oh, yeah, I miss the old Drake. I miss the old Kanye. I miss the old this, that, and the third. And then their music changes up because they're trying to do what's going to go commercial.
It's hard not to. I mean, even seeing it on a small scale, once you get a little taste of like, okay, I've got the formula and this hits and this is like, it feels good to be popular. Like, it just does.
You know that if I do it this way, it's going to pay the bills.
Yeah.
And
hey.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
I can understand it. For sure.
What would you feel like you are? What are you as an artist?
What am I as an artist?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of style of artist I am? Like, I would definitely wouldn't say I'm a completely lyrical artist, because I wouldn't say I have the best bars or the best punchlines. But I do try to pay attention to my lyrics or what I'm saying. But, I do want to be that kind of person.
Yeah.
That, like, whether if it's on your daily train ride, like, damn, this shit hitting. This shit is, he's speaking to some truth to what I'm dealing with in my personal life. Mm-hmm. Or I want to be that guy that you could throw in at a party. Be like, oh, yeah, this is a bop. Oh, let's jam to this.
Nah, that's dope. I think that's kind of hard, though. Because I think it's similar to, like, just the real world. You kind of don't want to be known for one thing or like judged on one thing.
Right.
Or you don't want to be like, oh, people like me
if
doing this.
Yeah.
And then when you do something else that everybody like, it's just like how we were saying, it's kind of hard. But I applaud motherfuckers that go, fuck it, I'm doing both.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like in today's day and age, like you have to be versatile. Especially as a music artist, because I feel like there's so many different trendy waves and different markets that you could tap into.
For sure.
Like, not everybody has to be a rapper. That's why I did the song Come My Way. That what people was saying, that was like real Afrobeat kind of vibe too. And like, even popular artists that you see, like, I feel like Drake is most common to tap it into different markets. Yeah. You know, Drake will get on a song with Bad Bunny and start singing in Spanish. And then,
I keep forgetting he got that damn song. Like, Drake, when the hell did you know Spanish? I thought this motherfucker was Jamaican.
Mm-hmm. And then you just tap into appeal to the different artists. Like, yeah. Who's doing that really good also? I feel like it's Uzi with the I Would Rock.
Yeah.
Like, that is the trendy TikToking. I don't even know what the style is, but just that style that make you want to move your hips.
Bro, I don't get it, but he find a way to fucking keep his name out there.
For real.
Every time. Now, when it comes to what you're saying right there, is that where you pick up when you collaborate with artists? You know what I mean? When it comes to collaborating with different types of artists?
When it came to collaborating with artists, like for those features that are on this project, I kind of wanted to give something that we could both vibe to that was like not too much out of their realm, not too much out of my realm, but okay. Something that we could come and kind of meet at like a middle ground and create something good.
Yeah.
You know, like, for example, we talked about Two Brothers. I wanted to go like that whole Detroit kind of style route on it. And it's like, I guess I had to meet Carlos and Jay Benzo in the middle with just doing it funny. Funny style rap, you know?
I think you did a good collaboration with Fonzo.
Yeah, Squeaky Clean. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Fonz had actually sent me that beat. And like, just the beginning, like the vibe that I get from it is like, I feel like it's one of those mosh pit songs.
Yeah.
That like, if you throw that on at like at a concert or something, potentially that's like something you open up the mosh pit to and you just gotta wild out.
Yeah.
For anybody that knows Fonzo and knows Fonzo for real, when he's outside, he's that energetic.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Period. Ain't no hands down. He's one of those that is just the life of the party. So I tried to meet him on that.
And I think y'all met. Y'all met on that one. I like this project, man. And I'm happy for the whole gang that's been doing their stuff. You know what I mean? And I think everybody got big things coming this year. Besides this this album, are we planning to perform this? Everywhere we going? Or what's the idea of like pushing this more as an independent? What is your takeaway and what's your angle on pushing this?
Definitely performances is going to be coming soon as I try to market this project a little bit more and more better. Right now, as you know, that we got the show coming up this Friday, I'm definitely going to perform some songs.
Oh, you is?
Yeah.
Oh, you with me?
I'm on the lineup too. I definitely got to do some songs on this, man.
I'm nervous as hell.
Yeah, got to show out for that. But definitely, I've even considered like even traveling just in like small different towns because I seen something the other day on social media is like artists say that they want to be big and whatnot. But like, okay, we live in New York City. I seen somebody ask an artist, when's the last time you went over to Jersey to try to perform? Jersey is right across the bridge.
Yeah.
So if you could get on the car and you drive, say, about 30, 45 minutes just in the next town over just to get a little bit exposure, why not? Because yeah. You never know who's going to be in the crowd or who you may impact and influence that may actually like your craft.
Yeah. And it's Jersey might fuck with it.
Yeah.
You know, no, I mean, but you're right, though. Who's to say, shit, my Californian ass go to, like, Virginia? And motherfuckers be like, oh shit. Next you know you got a cool little love down there.
Yeah.
It's a good way to do it. You know, it's everybody else kind of do it. You got comedians who go all low up and down, try to get that. Why can't independent people in music do that?
Exactly. And the way the music is broken down with streaming and now, you really don't have to rely on your hometown audience to developed like a really big fan base.
It's not how like it used to be.
It's not at all.
I think living in New York, like New York's such a bubble, you forget that there's literally anywhere relevant outside of New York. And it's like people are proving on TikTok every single day. I mean, we watched 10 videos of this guy this morning, this guy who moved to Montana. He's a black cowboy. That's his thing.
Yeah, yeah, that nigga living my life.
Zoning in on it. And he's just posting videos. What do y'all want to know? Just this like cool ass black dude play on like a fucking horse. Rap, but, like rides a horse. And I saw him the other day. He had 11,000. He's at 31,000 this morning.
Yeah.
Just being completely authentically himself. But it's like, that's what's so cool about social media now is you can do anything anywhere and you can build an audience of
millions from anywhere.
Because it's just really never important to remember not to get stuck in the New York bubble too much.
But that's just where we at too now. Like we could switch to over real fast to your brand, Designer Mafia.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Do you shout out? How we doing with that?
Oh man, the Designer Mafia clothing brand. Definitely sees some good success from it. I'm very happy, very pleased. And people that know about the brand, it's basically, I do a lot of athletic wear, I would say. I do a lot of pullover hoodies, sweatpants, shorts, hats, stuff for athletic wear, for comfortability. You know, because a lot of people, everybody want to look good and then people want to be comfortable too.
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of it. And just also just to piggyback from what you were saying, what we were saying about having to be diverse and not just be a one bracket. That's kind of where I think of like when it comes to the word designer and Designer Mafia, because it's everybody wants to feel like they're a part of something, but nobody just wants to be the same.
Yeah. Nah, I fucks with it. Shit.
When did you get into that?
Oh, so the brand became, I legitimately created my LLC last year, May 27th. I got approved for my LLC for the brand. But this is just something that I guess until it became official, it was just something that I was chanting since like out of high school. That was just something that was formed with me and my friends from high school, and I just took the name and ran with it because it's just something that I just believed in. I seen it.
So
I had, I guess I could say I had like a vision for it to be something more.
So we're going to get deep then. So for my new season on the Mother Ruckin' Jordan show, for some reason, the big topic that's been going on in all the interviews is manifestation.
Yeah.
Would you feel like that was like a manifest whole thing of the Designer Mafia, the music, all that good stuff this year?
Oh yeah, I definitely believe in manifestation. I definitely believe that whatever you may put out into the universe or that kind of energy or something that you just put out that you constantly say and believe, it'll come through to fruition eventually.
At some time.
You may not know when, it may not be now, it may not be next year or even 5 years, but I feel like it'll happen and come eventually. Because, you know, me, I'm a little bit younger to some people, depending if you want to say young. I'm 24, so it's been like...
Damn.
Yeah.
You're young, bro.
So I've been claiming Designer Mafia since out of high school. So
yeah.
Definitely something that I had to manifest and put out the plan to make it come to happen. This wasn't nothing like overnight. This was something that has been worked on.
Is it just you or is it you have someone with you?
Oh, so for the brand, I would say that I have other artists that are with me.
Okay.
That represent the brand. You know, I got other artists from me that is from Queens. Shout out to my guys, Just 5'7", my guy, Damu, my guy, Lil Dane. We're all from the same neighborhood.
Okay.
And, in Queens, and we just basically represent the brand and push the brand as much as we can.
And lit.
Yes, sir.
Manifestation.
It seems like you have known what you wanted to do since high school. Like you just like maybe didn't have the words for it yet in a certain ways, but like you were thinking about poetry, you're thinking about clothes, designing, like whatever, like it was all there.
It's
like the roots were there the whole time.
I would say it really was a lot of the building blocks because I did want to put myself into being like a mogul. Like I would say that would be the end goal. Like I guess people that I would say I aspire to be like is like Rick Ross, B. Diddy, 50 Cent. You know, those kind of big level bosses that have their own brands and push their brands. And the high school, you get a lot of the ideas come from high school. I went to the high school of economics and finance. So. I knew that I wanted to be in some kind of business, but I just didn't know what.
Yeah.
you know? So I guess I would definitely say that that school did kind of give me the tools that I know now to like kind of be able to build a business.
What, your high school was just a business school?
In a sense, yeah. It was like we had like economics class, accounting 101. Like on Wednesdays, we used to have people, and it was on Wall Street too.
What? I did
not mention the location. This thing was down the block from the World Trade Center by
Wait,
Wall Street.
How does the
California step up your goddamn education?
Jordan didn't know what Groundhog's Day was.
I didn't know what Groundhog's Day. I just found that shit out last year.
How do you, like, is that a private school thing? Like, what do you do?
Nah,
how do you
this
get
is New York City public school how, system?
Like, nigga, fix your goddamn
to get to school.
But just do some people get slotted to the Wall Street school? Like, how does that happen?
And it wasn't even one of those schools that you gotta like take a test to apply to. It was just something, just basic general application. If they pick you, okay.
That's cool. So fascinating to me. I've never heard of that.
I'm raising kids here. now we might be set here for life. Nah,
that's
but
so that, interesting.
That is wild. I thought it would be like a special it's program a, shit.
Nah, this is just a basic high school that's just like their main like
that's I pretty guess, cool.
Because they have I would say the school system here, they have like curriculums. I would say like if you're in like my one of my friends a high school that has a law program, he went into that, you know.
Wow. Makes so much more sense.
It does.
Makes so much more sense than just this like basic general education, and then you have to just go into college never having taken any of those classes and decide, oh, I want to major in accounting. You've never taken an accounting class.
God, dude. Wow. I'll probably be way different if I was raised in some shit like that. I was ducking hallways from Mexicans and blacks fighting each other every day.
For real, just trying to get through the locker.
Just get through. I'm just trying to go to PE, y'all.
No lockers.
No lockers, yo. We had lockers in like the gym, like when you go for PE, but that was it. Other than that, it was like, nah. Motherfuckers was holding guns and cigarettes, and motherfuckers since 15 years old smoking cigarettes. But nah, that's crazy though. That's pretty cool. That's pretty fucking cool, man. Now, my thing is this: when as this platform that I have, I like to the thing I like to talk about is the mental of things, and I know we've been touching on it a little bit, but it's like when you're down, it's down, right?
Yeah.
And it's hard to come out of that. As me as a comedian, I'll be holding back because I feel like my jokes ain't gonna fucking land type shit. But I know we already touched on it a little bit. It's like just do it just to do it. But I don't think people understand how hard that shit is. In a way,
just do it when you're not sure.
Yeah,
that's kind of like almost in the sense of why, like how I say I changed the name for the project from El Dinero was going to be the name of it, but I changed it to Quarantine Files.
Mm-hmm.
Just to speak on that little period during quarantine, what it was like for me
being an
artist trying to create. I was speaking to a lot of my artist friends, and I noticed that it wasn't just me that had like writer's block.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of these songs that I was writing to, it took a bottle of whatever concoction I was making in the crib just to get these bars out.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like how I'm trying to be like really authentic and really talk about stuff like that just to be my most authentic self. I wasn't really going through nothing during that time period of making it because everybody was stuck in the house.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really experiencing nothing to really get it out, but just trying to get out something, you know, which is why I felt like this couldn't be El Dinero because the time that has passed and it wouldn't have been its best. I feel like what El Dinero could be for the time that where I was mentally when I was developing the project and just what was going on around me.
Yeah.
So that's why Quarantine Files is named Quarantine Files, and how a lot of those songs even came about, because I would say I was mentally, I would say a lot of people was down mentally during that time. You know, a lot of people was going through tough times dealing with loss. Me, I'm blessed to say that I never lost anybody directly close to me that it felt the impact, but I definitely deal with some loss.
Yeah.
During that time period. So that's why I would say that's how I overcame it.
Yeah. Know?
That mental battle that you were discussing.
Nah, dude, it's quarantine was hard as fuck. But we all out of it now. And that's why I think 2023 is where the ball is rolling for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
But the ball rolling. What would you say your favorite track is?
My favorite.
I know artists don't like to talk about their favorite track. They don't want to leave out a nigga. You don't want to be like, this is my favorite track, but then the other dude's like, damn, I worked hard on mine, bro. I thought ours was cool, but what's yours?
Dang, you put me on the spot.
Yeah, I did.
So much. I feel like one of my favorites is The Race. It's either how it starts, The Race, or how it ends. Young OG.
Yeah.
It's like the most latest song that I created for it too.
Young OG?
Yeah.
All right.
That's like what would have been like the last track on the project itself before you get to the bonus songs.
Yeah.
And I would have to say that one is my favorite just because of the message. Like I was trying to like sum up everything that I spoke about through all of the previous songs and just where I was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're in a good place now, right?
Yeah, now I am in a better place. I am in a better
fucking
place.
Good. Claps to the fucking good mental health. You know what I mean? We always got to be good. Yeah, stop.
The ones that you left off, you said you had a few that you left off. Do you think you'll use them or do you think they're just done?
The ones that I left off, I might just... I'm not going to say I wouldn't use them. If I do, I wouldn't probably take them as serious, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just for, like, consistency's sake, maybe just give them out as, like, SoundCloud songs. Mm. You know?
SoundCloud shit.
You know what's one question that I really don't like being asked as an artist?
What? Oh,
are you on SoundCloud? Like, nigga, I'm on Apple Music, Spotify, and all the other shit that's out there. The first thing you go to is SoundCloud, it really make, I feel like it's like a slap in the face. Like, put some respect on my name.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm one of these regular SoundCloud artists. Not that there's anything wrong with it, because there are some people that really do get success from SoundCloud.
I still don't get how you do it. I don't understand how people get success from SoundCloud.
Yeah, it's like in 2023, put your music on all streaming services. Stop relying on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Reach a greater audience.
Yeah.
Are you on TikTok?
I have a TikTok account, but I have no videos posted because I don't know what to post.
Should be posting clips of these songs.
This one right here is literally a TikTok.
TikTok's biggest advocate. Really,
I really do. I be having moments where I be trying to brainstorm like, damn, okay, what do I do consistently that people may want to see? Like, I'm always in the gym. A lot of people may see the back and forth battle.
Yeah, I was going to get into the gym after this.
Me and this guy, Carlos the Fifth.
Yeah.
I'll be thinking like, man, we could do that for TikTok, but.
You should. And then put your songs in the background.
Yeah, but like, I feel like my workouts don't be that crazy to be able to record myself.
No, because I was about to get into that too. I'm like, what are you doing in the gym for you and Lowe's to be yelling at each other on the stories all day? Have you seen it?
No.
They're going at each other.
About the gym?
In the gym.
It's really just like, I would say it's one friend supporting another. It looks crazy.
It looks crazy. It's like fat ass. I'm going to get your fat ass up. I'm in here going deep. You know, Lowe's.
Yeah.
Lowe's is putting smart shit behind insults.
Yeah, he's a wild. This guy got like, he really stepped it up. And he tried to outbeat me in this little Instagram gym boy. He's got a camera crew with him. And look, shit. I'll be a dead dolly.
But I think it's pretty dope that both of y'all like pushing each other to be in the gym, because I'm recently in the gym also. I'm just not competing with y'all and I'm not talking to y'all. But it's
on your own pace again.
I'm on my own pace. I had Fat Boy Week last. We got into an argument about Fat Boy Week. I think you should always have like a week off.
A week off?
A week off real fast. You know what I'm saying?
Completely unnecessary when you only work out for a short amount of time to take a full week off.
Facts.
For no reason.
I learned I lost 20 pounds. So I rewarded myself and took a week off.
Oh, yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
She ain't getting it. She ain't getting that.
That's 20 pounds. That's not easy.
I call it Fat Boy Week. So everybody looking at it like it's different, but it's just, I don't know. I thought that was the first thing that came to my head. But I think having a gym, a healthy gym routine in your life kind of helps you mentally and kind of inspires you as an artist. What do you think?
I definitely can agree with that, because I'm not going to lie. Every day I don't have a good day in the gym. Mm-hmm. Some days I'll be working all day, like just tired, exhausted. And I may just be like, you know what? Today I'm in there, just do my job. Like this week, I'll say I was exhausted. I think it was Wednesday. I went to the gym Wednesday night, got on the treadmill, and I was just like, oh, I'm feeling like, damn, I really don't want to do these 4 miles today.
Yeah.
And my hand slipped, and my hand slipped because I accidentally hit the stop button on the treadmill.
And I just fell like, onto the stop button.
Hey, that's my sign.
My bad. Nah.
You know, and just to have that mindset that, you know what, it wasn't the day today, but tomorrow I'm going to come in and I'm going to attack it. And it's going to be a better day tomorrow. It's always another day to try. Give it a try.
But you feel good after you're in the gym, right? You're just like, oh yeah.
Definitely feel good that at least I got in some kind of work.
How often are you in there? Every day?
No. I do not do every day. Nah, the limit that I set for myself is at least 3 to 4 times a week. 3, I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
But 4, it's like, okay, I did good this week. I achieved something. And like, as you mentioned with some of the Instagram battles with me and this guy Lowe's, I'd really be feeling bad if I only went twice to the gym that week. And it's like, it's Saturday. I see Lowe's tag me like 3 times about me going to the gym. Maybe he see me slack off. Maybe other people that's in tune with it see me slack off. I'm like, shit, can't let him outdo me.
That's why you need to go to the gym, do like 10 different pictures. Bring like 10 different shirts. See, I couldn't do that with me.
Equinox mirror pictures. He's sitting on this couch.
Yeah. They're all old ass photos. Bro, I swear. I'm telling you, it's for the gram. It's for the gram. That's why I couldn't get involved with y'all, because y'all be like, damn, how the hell he doing this?
I think
I'll go to work with 10 shirts. And I'll take same picture in the same mirror with 10 different shirts. Y'all ain't trying to compete with me.
As funny as it is, though, I do think y'all have such a resource and having such a big friend group that everybody is really like, everybody in there is creative in some sort of way. And everybody in there is really driven. And like, I think that accountability as a group is just so rare. Like to have a big friend group that's all kind of united in one common goal and everybody pushes each other and like, checks in even on that, even if it's being mean to you on Instagram about the gym. It's like nobody's gonna let another one fall behind.
Yeah. What's your opinion on that? Where like you and this big group that everybody kind of push each other, do you think that's the way?
I feel like that would definitely be the way, because it's like it's harder for one person to be successful, but if you got like a whole, like it's like 10 to 15 of us that just mobbing together. And I feel like everybody pushing each other so that way it's like we all have the same common goals. Our goals is not too diverse where it's like I can't help this person at all from what they're doing, you know? So I feel like the fact that we could like, even it could be something as simple of like, hey, yo, like me, I just put out this project. Like, oh, you haven't dropped in a while? All right, get on this song. So that way your name still look consistent. Like you doing some work. You know what I'm saying? And it is. You doing some work. And this is all helping each other, push each other to be motivated.
Because
say if we do something that's successful, that we collaborate amongst each other, then that may motivate us to want to get on our own personal crafts.
Yeah.
Each other.
I think it's a beautiful thing. I think a lot of people, it's Some people have it, some people don't. And it is hard to do it by yourself. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that got a lot of people with them. And you see how it looks easy when you see a whole group doing it. But it's not.
It's really not. It's just a lot of us that we just have to put in the time to take the initiative for somebody to like either step up for the time being, you know, just mm-hmm. to be the man like, okay, we're going to be making these plans. And I feel like what we have collectively is that we really don't have no ego.
Yeah.
We don't have no big egos to being the big man, to anybody wanting to be the forefront man or whatever. Like, we all comfortable with just playing our position, because as long as one of us reaches the end goal, we're all going to collect it. And that's why I feel like a lot of people may not be able to succeed in doing that with their friend
groups. Yeah. I think most people, well, honestly.
You got to put that ego and pride aside. You got to just learn to just stay in the lane. Just as long as the car gets to the destination, that's what matters.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. That's a quote right there. Damn it, I should have pulled out my phone right there. Nah, but I agree with that shit. But like, you do a lot of solo work, but you got a good crowd around you too.
Yeah.
I hate when you fucking do that.
No, I do have a lot of support. I think I get jealous of like musicians, for example. Like, there's so many of y'all who are all, you can all have different styles, but at least you all do music or do something with, like, you all use sound equipment, even you with podcasting. It's like everybody uses sound equipment, so everybody can somehow like help each other and teach each other. And I'm like so lucky that I have so many friends who are willing to drop everything and come to an art show or whatever. But I can't like call anybody and be like, hey, like this paint brand, whatever. No one literally, I don't have a single friend who does painting in the style that I do.
Yeah.
And like, I can't call anybody for help. So it is kind of like a hard, like, and it's so much like you have to be at home doing it. Like, I see all y'all like go to the studio together and whatever. It's like a community aspect. I am definitely jealous of that. I think that's super cool.
Yeah. Not when you go to the studio, because I know it's a new thing. Mm-hmm. How much work is getting done?
It depends on who the kind of artist that you are.
Yeah.
You know, because some people, like me, I'm one of those people that, like, if I'm going to go to the studio, I most likely have my song ready, written, or have my beat picked out, and I'm just going to go there and just do the songs that I want to do that day, and then go home.
Yeah. You're very measured in the way. It's so funny, the more we talk to you, it's like, you've been thinking about it probably for 2 weeks before that, and you go in with the set.
In the shower.
Yeah. And then, like a Jody or somebody just rolls up with, like, probably just nothing, like, what are we doing? Like, and then leaves with something probably.
And then there's some people that I really know that, like, you just bring them to the studio, you sit them in the corner, let them hear the beat play for the first time, and they'll write a verse in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So cool.
And so it really just depends on the artist.
That's... Sometimes I look at it every time because I've only had friends on here, and I kind of, like, amaze of how, like, great this group is. And I forget, besides all the jokes and all the playing around and, you know, all that stuff, you forget a little bit how, like, damn, there's a lot of talented motherfuckers doing different things in this circle.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're used to it because you've known each other so long. But, like, every time I see, like, I don't know, y'all put on a show or whatever it is, even just everybody hanging out, I'm like, that is crazy to have that many people all in one room who are all in a creative field. And not just in it, but, like, really actively working toward goals. Yeah.
And it's and an applaud to you, because it's dope that you putting your foot in the circle down too. You know what I mean? And, like, and everybody just feels a part of something. And you got your foot down, you put your project out, and I'm pretty sure that's inspiring the next person to put something out.
Yeah,
and definitely. it's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about this performance coming up, man. What day is this coming out? Let's people know what's popping off next Friday.
Okay, so at next Friday on February 10th, you can catch me, Carlos the Fifth, Jody 10K, Casper, Fonzo, Justo Benz, yourself,
Jordan, me, Jordan Rucker,
all gonna be
performing for the first time.
Oh, in one night under one roof.
Yes,
Honeys in Williamsburg at 7:30.
Yes, this shit gonna be fucking crazy. So you ready for the funny shit, Quap? So Carlos is headlining the whole, like, I think, right? Yeah, it's this whole thing, right? And he pressed me the other night. He pressed me. He was like, "Hey, yo, man, good to see you." Good. I'm like shaking hands, everybody, boom, boom, boom. He like grabbed me by my neck. He was like, "Hey, you know the song? Are you ready?" And I was like, "Yeah." Then I came to the crib. You're like, "Hey, you."
Do you know what the words, like all the words?
You do the lyrics.
Like, and I said, I should.
I'm telling you, I know him.
He's gonna kill me when he hear this shit.
Oh my god, yo!
Because I know you probably did it once, like that. Oh, that was hard, and then left and never thought the lyrics again.
You never thought the lyrics again. I did the whole thing. I don't know. Have you heard it?
I did not hear it.
All right, bet. It's going to be crazy. And so Lowe's is keeping it on a secret.
We're all about to get live.
Is it like a West Coast-ish kind of
beat? Yeah.
He played me the beat. And
he didn't listen to the thing?
He didn't show me your verse, though.
Yeah, he didn't show you my verse. So
world premiere.
It's a world premiere. Lowe's, this is why I love Lowe's. Lowe's is pushing me to fucking do it. Yeah. I got so much shit in the vault. It's ridiculous. And I have, like, no lie, 8 songs with Justo.
Word. Oh my god! Why haven't I heard none of these?
I have like 8 songs with Justo. Me and Los has one, like 2, 3, 2, 3. I have one that I officially did that's gonna go on my project. The other ones are all playing around, but I've been. Carlos is like real serious about, yo. Nah, I'm putting you in. We went to the studio. We laid the shit down. He was like, "And now you're going to perform it." Yeah. This is not going to be a secret. Jordan, you were performing it. So,
I wonder how many people Carlos is doing this to. Like, it seems like he's really like pushing everybody. Like,
he ain't doing nobody like he did me. That's not that for sure. Yeah,
like, with me, in my experience, like, I knew about the show before he even told me it, but I was like, I know it's his show. I mean, I don't know if I'm performing. If he spoke to me, he's like, "What you mean you're performing?" It's
not no, no, literally, how it is serious. But he grabbed me by my neck and was like, "Yo, you know it, right?" I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "All right, it's next week," and I ain't talked to him the rest of the night. But I'm excited for that show. Everybody, please come check it out. I don't even know. Does it cost? I don't know. I don't remember what it was.
If there is a fee, I'll be thinking that the fee is maybe $10. But every time I've been to fees, it's been no entrance fees.
Yeah, so everybody come and check it out, man. Come see this group that we talking about, man. This is and then come see Quap drop his new music. Please check that shit out, too. Let everybody know where to find it, where to find you, big dog.
Of course, if you guys want to find me, you can find me on Instagram at Quab Dollars, KWAB_DOLLAS, Quab Dollars on Instagram. You can also check out everything that I'm into as far as like the music and clothing and stuff like that on DesignerMafiaENT.com. You can also check that out.
That shit lit. Mm-hmm. Now, I think this is a good one, though. This is a good one. This fella, how you feel?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm having a good time. It's a good conversation, man. I got to get some stuff off that I have never been able to talk about.
Yeah.
I appreciate you giving me this platform to even speak, to let other people hear me. Because I'm usually the quiet one, not the group.
You are.
I'm not too opinionated.
I don't think I heard you speak until like 2 years in our friendship.
I really just be playing the room.
You be chilling.
Cupping my
hands. What's your sign, Quab?
I'm a Scorpio.
There it is.
That's what.
What that mean?
He's quiet in the corner. Yeah,
I'm observing.
I'm telling you, 2 years.
Remembering everything and like calculating.
2 years, it'd be like a what's up, dog? Nah, but that's cool. Scorpio. Ain't Scorpio, oh, that's the Moneybagg song, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know the song.
Hey, next time I see you, I'm going to sing that shit to you. Hey. Nah, but yo, everybody, please, we got an hour in with Quad, man. I'm glad you came down and sat with me, bro. I'm glad you got a chance to talk about your project, man. Your project was dope.
Thank you.
I fucks with it. I fucks with it, and I want the world to fucks with it. I'm going to put my track at my favorite track at the end of this damn podcast. Please listen to it. Please listen to it all the way through. Friday, February 10th. Come out to Honey's. Come see your boys perform. Have a good fucking time. Quab going to be there, and the rest of the group and me going to be there. Everybody come and check out if you ain't got shit to do on Friday, man. Everybody get out of the Lower East Side and come to Brooklyn. Yo, shout out. Thank you, Quab, for sitting with me. Thank you, Chris. I hope everybody likes this new edition of this. I think this is a dope thing.
Thank you, Carmella, for snoring.
Yeah, Carmella going dumb.
Going crazy.
All right, y'all, and this is the Mother Ruckin' Jordan Show. We out. I'll see you guys next time. There she is. I love it.
Yeah. Sign of Mafia, huh? El Dinero, yeah.
Time of the evening, people start touching and loving. You already know the vibes when people start double cupping. Lil Shawty moving her waist, she don't think about repercussions. You hear the beat is busting, so baby drop it, don't stop it. Night out in town, you trying to show out in public, trying to be cute in my face, all up in our section coughing. But when I'm in these streets, you know my persona is thugging. But for you, I'm McLovin, so baby drop it, don't stop it. Can't shake that thing better than you. Can't move just the way that you do. Can come in between me and you. Drop it, don't stop it, I feel amazing. Just entertaining. No one complaining. I come around, you know it's a celebration. Cooped up in the house, gracing my presence. The aura is changing. Viewing women, kiss on women. That sight sends in cessation. All the dope being taken, have they minds start stimulating. Sun up to sundown, the cuff not getting put down. Don't leave your girl on DM with silence, she might get run down. It's a vibe escaping the city onto a new town. We treat it like the playground, like Magic City in A-Town. Time of the evening, people start touching and loving. You already know the vibes when people start double cupping. Lil Shawty moving her waist, she don't think about repercussions. You hear the beat is busting, so baby drop it, don't stop it. Night out in town, you trying to show out in public, trying to be cute in my face, all up in our section coughing. But when I'm in these streets, you know my persona is thugging. But for you, I make loving, so baby drop it, don't stop it. Can't shake that thing better than you. Can't move just the way that you do. Can come in between me and you.